the home base in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Welcome to the latest episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. Roger here, human capital management consultant with the Benefit Companies. Again, joined today by Kathy, who's vice president at the Benefit Companies. And today, we're going to talk about the payroll marketplace. Now, there are thousands of companies that do payroll. I mean, Google it and it just goes on forever. And they could be local. They could be nationwide, worldwide. We're not going to go into all thousands of them. Now, we're going to talk about some general topics, though. And today we're going to start with, what do we consider to be local, the local vendor market? What does that look like? So, Kathy, tell us about the local vendors.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. And thanks for inviting me again to talk about this. Yeah, so taking a look at the payroll marketplace, if you're a business and you're in search of a new payroll provider or partner, there's sort of three buckets of options for you to consider. And the first one is what I would call your local vendors. And so who would be your local vendors? Those would be what I would call regional payroll providers. So not necessarily large national companies like an ADP or the Pays of the world, the Paycoms, Paycors, Paychex, but more regionally focused payroll companies. They might do business only in the state that you're in or maybe in the surrounding areas. So, and they will have some level of expertise. The benefit of using a regional payroll provider is that they're going to more than likely be familiar with the complexities of that local environment. So what are the rules and the regulations regarding taxation in the places that you're doing business? Accountants also fall into this category. So a lot of small businesses in the beginning when they start, if they're not doing payroll themselves, they might outsource this to their accountants who are already helping them with their tax filings. So that's who I would consider your local vendors. Accountants, again, are going to be familiar with the particular state that they're in and probably the surrounding areas. But one of the things we typically see when you hire a level of expertise like that, you're hiring really tax experts. So generally speaking, you're going to pay a little bit more for that. And most accountants that I have talked to will, if they're doing payroll, it's because they're doing it as a service for their clients, not really because that's the business that they want to be in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so that makes sense. And that's, you know, those are people right in your area or maybe in your state. Maybe it goes a little bit farther, but around the area.
Right.
Certainly then there's, because of what's been going on in the world, now we have companies that actually just do this as an online service. So talk about the online options.
Absolutely. I think, and you brought this up, if you just Google payroll providers, you're going to get all kinds of hits on that. And one of the things that we're seeing, a trend out there that we've been seeing the past few years, is what I would call cheap online payroll vendors, where you can basically download some software off the internet and you can kind of run your paychecks through that, through their algorithms and through their platform. The holes usually around that come when you have to do your quarterly tax filings to the government and to the state. You know, do they provide the platform for that, or do you have to then hire an accountant to do that? The other thing that we typically see with these online vendors is questions around their algorithms. You know, where are they getting the tax information that they're using in this platform? And how can you vet to make sure that that is the correct taxation, whether it be for unemployment or, you know, state taxes or federal unemployment taxes? You want to make sure that local taxes, we've talked in previous podcasts, if you're doing business in a state that has local taxes, you're going to need that information. And does that online platform give you that is something that you're going to need to vet.
Well, give you that and make sure that it's current.
Yeah.
Because ever-changing, as we've seen in the last few years, things change dramatically.
Definitely. And, you know, they can be inexpensive. You can download payroll software and it can be relatively cheap, but the devil's always in the details. And if you end up paying more on the back end because you end up with a tax problem, it's probably not worth that initial investment. That would have been a little less.
And so then talk about the service in this space too, because again, if you're using a local vendor or an accountant, you've already got that relationship. online vendor, what's the service model? I didn't know.
Yeah, and generally speaking, it's just the platform for you to run your paycheck. So you're absolutely right. If you have a question, or if you do something wrong and you enter the payroll incorrectly, and now you realize, oh my gosh, I didn't pay these people correctly, and I need to go back and figure out how to fix this, you're generally not going to get any type of support with that. So now again, you might be calling your accountant to help you through that, which is probably going to be expensive.
And again, maybe not their area of expertise, because they're accountants, not payroll experts, right?
Correct.
Okay. So we have local, we have online, and then we also have the names that everybody's familiar with. We, as you like to call them, and we like to call them the big box vendors. So mm-hmm. now we're talking about ADP and Paychex and Payroll, all the ones you've heard before. I mean, you can sit here and list off 15 of them, and everybody's going to go, yeah, I've heard of all of them. So what about them? What makes them of interest, and why do people want to use them in the marketplace?
Well, they've been in the business for a long time, and they're certainly knowledgeable about payroll, and they're going to be doing business in all 50 states, so they're going to understand or have some level of understanding of the complexities because they have to. I think, so from that perspective, you know, if you have a complicated payroll or you have a company that has employees in all 50 states, you're going to want to make sure that you've got a level of expertise. So whoever you're hiring needs to understand that. I think the trade-off with the big boxes is the level of service. So what we tend to experience when we work with prospects is if they are coming off of those platforms, usually the frustration is around personalized service. So what smaller and medium-sized businesses really need is a payroll partner that gets to know them, gets to know their business, gets to know their payroll and their employees, and can kind of watch over and say, this is weird. You submitted double the amount of payroll this pay period than you did last time. I think we should reach out to you and ask you, did you mean to do that? So having that personalized service is really key in that market segment.
So the service piece, big deal, of course. And some of these big box companies are working with clients that are huge as far as employee count goes. So then again, if you're a smaller company, do you get the same service as that big account?
I think every small company would tell you no.
All right. Then the other thing I guess I want to touch on briefly here too is the technology side of that. Because I know from our discussions, some of the big box vendors have, I don't want to say they have trouble, but I'm going to say it. They're not as smooth as getting out updates or getting out new software to their clients and making sure everybody's up to speed. Maybe you can just talk about the technology side for a second.
Yeah, technology is really important. And I think one of the cool things that we're all experiencing is the ability to get access to information in a much more efficient way. Our payroll platform that we use here at Benechex actually allows for employees to download an app to their phone, and then they can actually log into that app to see their paychecks and their W-2 statements. And that's a really great thing because it keeps people from having to knock on HR's door all the time, which generally, again, is usually the person that is wearing multiple hats in the organization and has a lot on their plate. So getting information to the employees through technology apps is very important. I think the other thing is there's a lot to processing payroll. And again, having a platform that is up to date, has the right tax tables. Everything is changing daily, it seems like right now, and making sure you're with a vendor that has all of the latest updates and opportunities for people to get information is really key.
So when we're talking about now technology, going back to the local vendors, that might be something they're not going to have as much of, who knows? The online vendors, maybe they have it, but they don't have the service. All along this whole process, though, too, is how do you put a price tag on what it is you're buying? So, wow, every vendor does that different as well, not only for paying for just the service to get the checks done every 2 weeks, but all the other things that go around with it and maybe some things that you don't anticipate. So talk about how do vendors price what they do?
Yeah, no, that's a great topic to talk about. What I would tell our listeners who are looking for a payroll partner is to look generally for these types of costs. The very first thing you want to evaluate and what you should see is a per person per paycheck cost. And that per person per paycheck cost is going to be every time you process payroll. So if you are on a biweekly payroll schedule, that per person per paycheck multiplied by 26 pay periods is going to be your annual cost. Sometimes companies will charge a general processing fee alongside of that per person per paycheck. So it's important to really evaluate what that per paycheck actual cost is every time you process payroll. So again, if you're biweekly, look at how much is it going to cost me and pick a number, just make it a round even number with the number of employees in your company and just take that average number of employees or what you think it's going to be and multiply the per person per paycheck, add any general processing fees so that you get a true picture of what that biweekly charge is going to be. So that's step number one. Two, you're going to want to look for how much is the vendor charging you for year-end reports, like the W-2s. Sometimes vendors will bundle that W-2 charge with their per person per paycheck fee. You want to really separate that out if you can, because you should only really be getting charged for W-2s at the end of the year. Additionally, and I call these kind of per item things that you're going to want to vet, most companies have what we call a general ledger system, and it could be QuickBooks at the very basic level, or it could be a very complicated accounting system. But is there some type of integration between the payroll system and your general ledger system? So is that functionality to integrate those two so they're talking to each other? And there would usually be a fee around that. It can be a monthly fee. It could be a, again, per frequency fee. If you're biweekly, then every 2 weeks. So that's a fee that you're going to want to understand if that's possible, because it's just going to make your life easier as you pay your employees to get that information into your accounting system. Garnishments is another category that I think is important to understand. How is the payroll vendor charging for garnishments? You don't want to pay for garnishments if you don't have any. So really what my recommendation would be is to try to break that out and understand, because if you don't have any garnishments, you don't need to worry about it. But then all of a sudden when you start getting them, you know, it makes sense then to pay for them as you need help with them. And then last but not least, state new hire reporting. This is usually a function of payroll, but getting the information over to the state that you've hired somebody new so that they can track them for unemployment insurance issues. Again, is there a charge for that? How much is it? Are you paying that no matter what, whether you have any new hires or not, or are you paying that on a new hire basis? Those are all good things to look for with costs. Additionally, you're going to want to understand when you start working with a new payroll vendor, what are the setup and implementation costs and what types of training costs are there? Because usually those are just to get going on the new software.
All right, so I'm going to go off to one other topic we probably weren't going to think about today, but it just jumped into my head. So talk for 1 minute or two, whatever, on when's the actual best time to make a move? Most folks would say, hey, you know, let's start at the beginning of the year, but sometimes there's a crisis and you have to get a new vendor. You know, ideally it would be the start of every quarter. Maybe. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, that's actually a great question. And this is another very important topic when we start working with a company. So the answer to that question is, it depends, right? So what we usually tell clients is that if you have employees in multiple states, then you're always going to want to make a change on the first of a quarter, a calendar quarter, because you're going to want to line up with the IRS tax year. So the best times to make changes in that case would be a January 1st, an April 1st, a July 1st, or an October 1st. And that just makes it easier because you do have to file quarterly returns with the federal government. So it's like an easy cutoff. for companies that are all in one state, for example, all in the state of Wisconsin, we can move business at any time. So what we typically do, we'll look for the first pay period in a particular month, and that will be the go live date. So if you pay every Friday, we'll look for the first Friday in a particular month, and then that would be the go live date. What's important to understand is if, let's say, it's March and it's March 7th, because that happens to be a Friday, that's your first live payroll with the new vendor, then they're going to want to load history back to January 1st, because then at the end of the year, your employees will just get one W-2 and it will be from the current processor versus getting two W-2s for that short time period, January and February.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's really an anomaly between those three types of vendors we were talking about, but we hadn't talked about that before. And I know that's when we sit in those implementation meetings, we talk about when are we starting these folks, because that's a big deal to get the information right. All right. That's the marketplace as a whole. Anything else jump out that you wanted to share today, or did we cover the main topics for today?
I think we covered it for today.
All right. Thanks for being here again, Kathy. Appreciate your knowledge and your time as always. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to this episode of Inside Connect and Simplify. Be well.
We appreciate you giving us a listen and learning more about the benefit companies. Find our podcast and everything you want to know about our trademarked human capital management platform, Connect and Simplify, at connectandsimplify.com. You can also find our podcast at Podbean, Pandora, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Amazon Music, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Thanks for listening.